1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, isn't that interesting? First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Heavenly Father, bless us, Lord, as we study this matter of prayer. I pray, Lord, that you would, energize Christians across our nation today to pray. Lord, I believe that there's already been that occur. I believe that, Lord, you're probably hearing more from Americans today than you have in a long time. And Lord, thank you that you're available to us, Lord, not just during times of testing, but during times, Lord, where things seem like they're okay. Help us to understand, Lord, we always need you. And it's a blessing, Lord, to spend time with you, even if we don't have anything to come and ask, just to spend time in thanksgiving and supplication, Lord. And I pray that you'll help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just point out a few things before I get into the seven blessings of prayer that we discovered as we read this portion of Scripture. First of all, I want to say this. I believe that men should take the leadership when it comes to this matter of prayer. The Bible specifically is addressing men, not in the sense of mankind, but men specifically. We know that because in verse number 9, it says, in like manner also that women. So sometimes when the word Bible says is talking to men, it's talking to mankind. In this instance, it's saying to the male species, it's saying, hey, men, you know what? You take leadership in this matter of prayer. And I think that that's a good admonition for every man that's the head of his home to lead your to lead your family in prayer and to make sure that your family is prayed for and prayed with. I think it's good in the church. We have here a pastor's prayer team, and the men of a church join that team. And you know what? They bolster and protect and build a prayer hedge around our church. By the way, ladies, God hears you too, and God wants you to pray also. And you're not second-class citizens when it comes to prayer. Sometimes I think some of our ladies probably can get a hold of God quicker than maybe the preacher can. But the Bible still teaches us that men are to take the leadership in this matter of prayer. We're to set the examples in the matter of prayer. Also, the Bible talks about the importance of praying for those that are in authority. And again, folks, I think that that's probably very pertinent to what we're facing right now. You know what? Those that are making the big-time decisions, you know, it's easy for everybody to be an armchair quarterback. And it's easy for people to set back that doesn't have the pressure and, honestly, the information that some of our people have that are in places of leadership. And it's a lot easier to criticize, come on, human nature, than it is to pray. But I would encourage our nation to obey the Bible, encourage Christians to obey the admonition in verse number 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And then we also see in verse number 4, who will have all men to be saved. And I think another great thing to pray about is to pray for everybody that you know of that is unsaved. I think everybody ought to have on their prayer list a place. Of, you say, preacher, there's a lot of unsaved people. I know. And I hope every one of them, this is what I'm thinking. I'm hoping every unsaved person has at least one person that's praying for them to be saved. Now, God's going to lay a group of people on your heart that he may not lead on my heart. I understand we can't pray for everybody that's unsaved, although I think we can make that general prayer request like I prayed this morning. How many times do you hear your preacher say, if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ, say, what are you doing? I'm obeying verse number 4. But I think specifically by name, I would ask myself, Lord, who would you like me to pray for that probably, think about this, probably nobody else in the world is praying for to be saved? And as we're in our workaday jobs, in our workaday world, you get to know the co-workers around you. You need to know as you talk a little bit about their family. There may be somebody that you work with that is an unchurched situation, and they don't come from a Christian background. And in your conversation with them, there's honestly no evidence that they know or have a Christian in their life besides maybe you. Man, that's the kind of person I'd want to put down on my prayer list and just say, Lord, you know what? I may be the only one that's calling this person's name out in prayer. And I think that's a blessing. And then the Bible goes on to remind us that there's one God. Notice this in verse 5. And one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now, folks, remember this. The way and the reason we're able to approach the throne of grace with prayer is because of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. When he died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again. The Bible says he now sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. The reason that I'm able to come to God is not through my own righteousness. I wouldn't be allowed in the presence of God based on Jerry Ross's holiness or righteousness. But I can come through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that, I've got an open invitation. Now watch this. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That means that if I'm going to get to the Father, the way I can get to the Father is through Jesus Christ. And you have to go through Christ. There's something that's happened. And I'm not trying to be overly critical or making mountains out of molehills. But I'm shocked at the number of meetings I go to where I'm listening to preachers pray and church members pray. I don't remember growing up ever hearing somebody pray and not end the prayer and in Jesus' name, amen. And I don't know whether it's gotten vogue. I don't know whether some people are just never been taught it. I don't know what, I heard of one preacher that was preaching against doing it. And I think to myself, are you nuts?
That's right. That's right.
Listen, you should never ask God for anything without mentioning Jesus' name. Hey, buddy, he's the ticket that gets you to the throne of grace. And I just want to say that to our church. Men, don't decide. But, you know, a lot of times I'm telling you, Lord, help us. You know, somebody, some new person's got to have a new idea and come up with a new thought, and everybody's wrong before them. And I think there's a group of them that are doing this. Good night. Come on. Pray in Jesus' name. Are you nuts? You say, well, you don't have to say it out loud. Well, you don't have to, but you might as well. And why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? And so that's the pastor's opinion on that. But I know this, there's one mediator. Now, watch this. Any man that stands on this earth, flesh and blood man that stands on this earth and tells you, you have to come to me and bring your requests, and then I take them to God for you. That man is an imposter. He's a liar. He's a false prophet. He's a fake. Because the Bible says there's one mediator between God and man. I'm glad I don't have to track down somebody, some man on this. Listen, he's a sinner like I'm a sinner. But Jesus Christ, there was no sin found in him. And so don't forget that, and don't get duped by those that would go against the word of God. Next time somebody tells you that, then you open to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Go ahead and mark it in your Bible and say, then why does it say this right here? That there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so now, the seven blessings of prayer. Wow, we're going to get right into it. Here we go. Let me just give you these. I love these statements. They're so simple. Here's the seven blessings of prayer, the seven blessings about prayer. Number one, you can pray. You can pray. If you are saved, then you have access to God. You can pray. One God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I've already mentioned this, but notice the invitation in Hebrews 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, what's the therefore? It's talking about Jesus. Talk about he's now our high priest. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. I'm glad that our president recognized that at this time in our country, you know what? Hey, those of you that can and those of you that will, it's time to go to the throne of grace and seek help in our time of need. Now, if you're saved, you can pray to your Heavenly Father. By the way, if you're lost, you can still pray. But you know what you need to pray? You need to pray the sinner's prayer with a repentant heart and a heart of belief, because any other prayer you pray, he's not going to hear. But he's listening today for you to come to him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so you can pray. That's everybody. Saved, you can pray. Lost, hey, you can pray too. Just pray to be saved and mean it with all of your heart. Number two, you can pray at any time. Now, I like this. You can pray at any time. How many of you are at that age where you are up at night quite a bit? Oh, you young people, you don't know how wonderful you have it, you know. It's getting to be a regular thing in my life where God wakes me up, or the aches and pains wake me up, or other things we won't go into, necessities wake you up. And then sometimes I can't get back to sleep. But you know what? Can I say this? The Bible says he gives his beloved sleep, and he does. I think a good night's rest. Come on, you older folks understand this. We probably took for granted the blessing of a good night's rest. But you know what? I think one of the reasons that God created us the way he did was because those of us that are older, you know what? We've seen life. And you know what? I think if there's a group of people who God wants to pray on a regular basis, it's those of us that have been down the road a little bit. And if you wake up and you can't get back to sleep, don't get mad. Just realize, hey, you know what? Maybe the Lord wants me to get up and talk to him for a while. And so you can pray in the middle of the night. In the morning, the Bible says, but unto thee have I cried, O Lord. In the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. How about this? Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Sounds like the store doesn't close. You don't have to Google to see when God's open or not, okay? At nighttime, we talked about this, and it came to pass in those days, he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. But here's the summary of it, Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. You know what these principles teach us? Number one, you can pray. Number two, there's never a time you're going to get a busy signal. There's never a time that God's like, you know what? I couldn't answer. I was on the other line. Okay, sorry about that. You're never going to get a voice recording. You know, please leave a message. Hallelujah. But you can pray at any time. Third blessing, you can pray by yourself or you can pray with others. And you know what? The Bible talks about closet prayer. The Bible talks about solitary prayer. Oh, I think that this is important. I think that we need to understand that there is a prayer time in everybody's life where it needs to be just us and God. Right. The Bible says this. Now think about the promise. I want you to really listen to this promise concerning closet prayer. Matthew 6:6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. Now notice the promise. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now there's a real power to closet prayer. I have tried to teach our folks this through the years. But I believe that there are requests that you ought to bring for public prayer. I think also there's some requests that you should only share between you and God. The Bible says in secret. In secret. Because here's the thing. Let me throw it out there, and I'm going to tell you the progression in my life, okay? As a Christian, I'm not criticizing you if you're where I was, but I want to grow you, okay? With this matter of prayer, we first get saved. Even after we're saved for some time, something comes into our life. Our first inclination is one to call everybody, and let's get this on the prayer chain. Call the preacher. Preacher, I got something I need you to pray about. And by the way, if God moves your heart to do that, then do it. But the whole idea that, well, you know what? More people you have praying, the better chance you got. Wait a minute. There's some things that I know that God in my heart says, you need to keep this between me and you. Right. You need to bring that to me. See, here's the thing. As a Christian, come on, I'm just going to be honest with you, all right? I would take my prayer request to other people because I figured they had a better chance getting a hold of God than I did. Right. Because there were things that weren't right in my life that I knew and I really didn't want to get right. So I'll just use other people. Well, you know, I'm glad to pray for you, but good night. if that's the reason you're bringing your request to other people, why don't we deal with the sin? Because, hey, there's going to be those times. Listen, Peter didn't have time to get his prayer request on the prayer chain when he was out of that boat sinking. He was either going to say, help, Lord, and get to God himself, or he was going to drown. And I'd hate to think, watch this, there's one mediator. Don't treat your preacher like a priest. Don't treat your mom and dad like a priest, or grandma and grandpa like a priest. You say, but they walk with God. Well, so can you. But I think that they're right before God. You can be too. And I think what we need to do is take a look at this thing and say, all right, isn't it time for me to grow in the Lord to the point where I'm not reliant on everyone else? Let me give you another thing about closet prayer. When you go to God privately, and only you and him know the request, and he answers that request openly, where not only you see it, but everybody sees it. Listen, it's not a matter then about walking around telling everybody, you know why that happened? I prayed. Even the results, I think, should be kept secret. Because if not, we're not careful, we can take a positive thing and turn it into a negative. Come on, aren't we a mess? We'll get our pride and sin involved even in victorious things. But I think sometimes you can smile and you can see that God answered something and you never share anybody. But you know what you do have in your heart? The confidence that God heard me, that I can trust the Lord, that I can go to him, that he cares about what I am asking. That's an awesome place to be in your prayer life. I'll be honest with you. The older I get, used to be this was my public prayer list and here's my secret prayer list. Now it's like here's my public and here's my secret. Because you know what? I don't want this to sound bad, but I got this. Me and God's got this. I've got utter confidence in going to God on my own and knowing that he will hear me. And it's good for Jerry Ross because it keeps me right and it keeps me clean. And you know, the first thing you ought to do is you go to the Father's, make sure. I mean, there's some things we ought to take care of before we get around to the asking part. Some of it is just keeping our hearts clean, confession of sin. The Bible talks about that men ought to always pray. One of the things he mentions there is with thanksgiving. You know, if all you ever did, one of your kids, all they ever did was come and ask and ask and ask and ask, and you give and give and give, and they never said thank you. Come on, mom and dad. Wouldn't there be a time where you kind of turn the spigot off a little bit and say, hey, wait a minute, we got an issue we need to take care of here. One thing to say, gimme, 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 is another thing to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And so there's a good truth for us, and I took too long on that, but I like Jesus taught us this by example. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a, I love this little phrase here, a solitary place, and there prayed. Now, having said that, folks, there is great power in united prayer. You can pray by yourself. You can pray with others. United prayer. I don't have the time to teach that whole concept, but there's three places in the book of Acts and where we see an example of the church coming together to pray. And folks, every single time they did it, there was an unusual moving of God, an unusual answer to prayer. First was in Acts chapter 1, okay, when 120 Christians gathered together in that upper room and prayed for the power of God and prayed for the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit filled them and they went out and through public preaching and private soul winning, personal soul winning and public preaching, over 3,000 people came to Christ that day. Hey, wow. How about that? There's power in united prayer. Here's the formula for united prayer. One place, one accord, one request. One place, one accord, one request. After the church went through its first time of intense persecution, when they released the apostles, they came to the church and they reported what had happened. And the church again got on their knees in the face of increased persecution. And they asked God for boldness. And they asked, and the Bible says God shook the place and they were filled with the Spirit of God. And that set the stage for the next 5,000 people to be saved. What do you think about that? And then there was that crisis situation in the church where Peter was arrested and scheduled to be executed. And the church met at a house and they prayed. And you know what? An angel appeared and came in answer to their prayer, unlocked the prison doors, the chains fell off, walked Peter out of the Bible says he was thought he was in a trance. He thought he was having a dream. And all of a sudden, he gets to the city gates, and they swing open of their own accord. And about that time, the angel says, okay, you got it from here. Shot back up into heaven. He looked around and said, man, this wasn't a dream. And he went and knocked on the door. And you know the little teenage girl that came to the door, you know, the maid? And she tried to tell him. You know, nobody believes a teenage girl. Why don't we believe teenage girls? I don't know. She come running in and said, it's Peter, it's Peter. And you know what they said? Aren't you glad I love this faith that they had. It can't be Peter. We're in here praying that he gets out of jail. So it can't be Peter. You know, the reason I can laugh, come on, have you ever been there before in your life? You think you're praying in faith? And then it happens, and there's a part of you that's kind of shocked, you know? And aren't you glad the Bible says if you have faith as the, come on, a grain of a mustard seed. You know what it said? Mustard seed, it takes mustard seed faith to move this mountain. I'm glad it wasn't switched, where it takes a mountain faith to move a mustard seed. And I'm glad sometimes, you know what? One of the prayers I love in the New Testament is when that father brought his daughter and needed help for her. And he looked at the Lord, and the Lord said, do you believe? And he said, I believe. Help thou mine. Come on, that's more times. I'm telling you, that's probably more of a description of a lot of my praying than probably I should admit. But you know what? Sometimes it's hard to, come on, doubt clouds some things. You say, preacher, do you think it does any good, though, if you go to prayer? I mean, is it really faith if you go to prayer and you're asking God for something and there's doubt, still an element of doubt in your life? Watch this. The fact that you were willing to go to prayer is a step of faith. The fact that you were willing to pray through your doubt and with your doubt, God still sees a measure of faith. If you didn't have any faith, you wouldn't pray. So just, I think sometimes God says, oh, there they are again. They're a mess. But you know what? Look at that. At least they came to me. And you know what? Maybe the way I can build their faith a little is to answer that prayer. So folks, listen to me. Don't become one of these people that say, well, unless I'm 100% convinced that God's going to do it, there's no use praying. No. Help thou mine unbelief. I like that. And you know what? As God does answer those secret prayers, and as a church, as we come together and we see extraordinary answers to united prayer, all that does is throw fuel on the fire, and our first reaction in life begins to be, hey, let's pray, not let's panic, you know. So you can pray by yourself, or you can pray with others. Number four, you can pray about everything. You can pray about everything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You want an education in prayer? Pray with your children. You want an education in prayer? Pray with your children. Because about the time, you know, they're used to mom and dad praying for them, mom and dad praying for them. And then they get that age where they're like, I want to pray. And then, you know what, at first they mimic you and you know, just pretty much repeat, because that's how we learn in life. You know, we learn through listening and repetition. But then they get brave and they decide that, hey, man, I heard a preacher say you can ask God for anything, man. And you know what they do? They do. They ask God for crazy things. But you know what's amazing? How many times, come on, parents, God answers their prayer. You know, you say, preacher, I don't want to bother God. This is a little thing. I don't think there's any little things when it comes to God. I don't believe that for a minute. Yeah, but preacher, this isn't spiritual. I think all things are spiritual. I know that there's a warning in the Bible that we've got to be careful to praying for things just to consume it upon our lust. And I'm not ignoring that portion of Scripture. If all you're doing is pray, you know, if you're praying for your neighbor to get in a car wreck because you're mad at him, okay, I don't think that's, shame on you. Shame on you. Shouldn't be praying that. Okay, I have had to stop praying for Bernie Sanders because every time I try to, something bad comes out. And so, you know, but you know, if we're not, no, I'm not talking about that kind of thing. I'm talking about, you know, well, God's so busy. No, God's not so busy. You know, and you can't get God busy. Okay, you can get me busy, and I can get you busy, and we can get ourselves busy, but the God of the universe can manage this whole thing, and you know what? It's not like he's taxed out. It's not like, no. He's, watch this, our God Almighty, And so you can talk, preach prayer about everything. You can pray about every need. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Aren't you glad it doesn't say what kind of need? It just says, you know, your need may be different than my need. Sometimes it's a physical need. Come on now, watch this. Sometimes it's an emotional need. That's okay. Sometimes we just need to come. Sometimes it's a mental need. There's been times where I've been trying to work on something, and my thinking is clouded, and there's a spirit of confusion, and I can't see what to do. And I just say, Lord, you need to just help me right now and clear my mind. And, you know, come on. Sometimes it's a spiritual need. You know, there's all kinds of needs, but God's interested in all of them, all of those things. And so, hey, prove him. Test him. See if you don't get help. See if you don't get his ear. Every circumstance of life. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth with our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I love this. Sometimes I'm looking at a situation, and I'm like, Lord, I don't even know what to pray about. I don't even know what your will is here. I don't know what to pray about, but I'm going to pray for this situation. And when we don't know, the Spirit of God then intercedes for us because he knows what needs to happen when I don't know what needs to happen. And so sometimes I just have to say, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to help me with this one. Lord, I'm not sure what you're trying to do. I don't know what to ask about this. I don't know what your will is. So God, please have your will. Just have your will. And you know what? The Holy Spirit knows what God's will is. So he goes and says, he wants you to do this. Father, and Father's like, well, good, you know. And so every circumstance of life. Number five, you can pray anywhere. Oh, this is good. You can pray anywhere. You don't have to go to a church and go into a little phone booth. You don't have to do that. You can pray anywhere. Jonah prayed out of the fish's belly. So if you ever get swallowed by a whale, hey, pray away, man. Pray away. God will hear you there. Amen. Bible says you can pray at church, Matthew chapter 12. He said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. I think this is a good place to pray. I love coming in here and watching our men's prayer team gather together in pairs and pray around the church. I love that. It encourages me as a preacher. I love it for people that are visiting our church to come in. And you know what? Sometimes it's if you watch visitors' faces, they'll see two over there. And I'm not talking about just lost people or people that have not been church. I'm talking about Christian people visiting. And they'll look there and they'll look there and they'll look there. And they kind of talk to each other. Like, you know, is this allowed? You know, is this supposed to, what are they doing? You know, isn't that sad? I mean, I think one of the most common sights that ought to be seen in the church, if Jesus said, my house is to be a house of prayer, shame on us if we come into church, spend the whole time, leave, and never say one prayer while we're here. Now, let me encourage all of you, whether you're part of the pastor's prayer team or not, one of the greatest things you can do for your church, from the moment you start pulling in the parking lot until you pull back out, we need people praying. I want you to get in the habit of that. As I'm dismissing Sunday school, you know it'd be neat? Come on, all these kids and teenagers are filing past you. Could you pick out one or two or three of them? And maybe you know them by name and maybe you don't. And just say, Lord, I don't know that little girl. But Lord, she's getting ready to go down to Sunday school class. Bless Sister Darcy as she teaches her. And if she's not saved, I pray she'll get saved today. You understand what would happen if we really believe what Jesus said here? You know, as visitors walk in, pray for them. As song leader gets up here, pray for him. As you see hear the piano playing before the service, pray for our piano player. You know, don't forget, I always, almost without fail, remind you in my prayer that there's other services going on. And you know what? We can't be out of sight, out of mind on that. Brother Young's going to need our prayer support as he preaches in junior church. Miss Mandy's going to need prayer support. Good night, does she need prayer support with those primary kids? Amen. I don't know if it's the primary kids are the worst or the teenagers I send down to help with the primary kids, but she needs prayer. She needs help. And by the way, so's your preacher. So's your preacher, man. When I get up and preach, this is my prayer and my request to you, and that's this. Brethren, pray for us. And it'd be a wonderful thing to be able to walk to the pulpit and know that every single person in our church, as I'm reading the open scripture and getting ready to go into the message, is interceding. Lord, bless our preacher and help our preacher and give him clarity of mind and keep the devil away. And Lord, may the word of God go powerfully out. I mean, if we just, I mean, everybody we shake hands with walk away and say, Lord, bless him today. And we just would baptize this whole thing in a spirit of prayer. I think some miraculous things would happen on regular basis, maybe a more regular basis than they are. How about this? We could pray in the wilderness. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. You're going to find yourself sometimes wandering in the wilderness. That's a good time to pray. You can pray on the ground. He went a little forward a little bit and fell on the ground and prayed. I want to say this, and listen, elderly people, you're never going to hear boo from me. I understand and keep up on a lot of the health situations in our church. You know, there's certain men that come up here, and you know what, even on our Wednesday night prayer time, folks, good night, they have to sit to pray. Thank you for staying and sitting and praying. I'll sit with you and pray. I mean that. I'll sit with you and pray. And other of our men sit with them and pray. But I want to say this. I really do think it's a Bible principle, and it says something to God. If you can't get on your knees to pray, that's one thing. If you won't get on your knees to pray, that should tell you something. Because you know what kneeling before God is? That's one of the strongest acts of humility a man or a woman can do, is to kneel on their knees in that position before somebody else. And you know what? God, we ought to have that kind of fear and that kind of reverence of God and be willing to humble ourselves. In the book of Acts, they had cottage prayer meetings and they prayed by the riverside. Acts chapter 10, they were praying. Peter was praying on the housetop. And so, hey, get a ladder if that helps you out a little bit. Maybe you're a little closer to God then. I don't know. I think the houses were a little different back then. If you end up in prison, I got good news for you. You can even pray for prison from prison in Acts chapter 16. And you know what? Here's the summarization, 1 Timothy 2:8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I've had prayer meetings in so many places. Brother Tom, we went to your farm one time, all the men, and had a prayer meeting in a turkey barn. I mean, and you know what? God answered that prayer and did something miraculous. Rachel, I went with your daddy and you and your mama and your brother, and we climbed up into a cemetery where we could look all the way over Sisterville, West Virginia, with a bunch of teenagers, got on our knees and prayed as we overlooked the city. Boy, that was a time, man. That was so much fun. I've knelt down on the streets, the dirty, soiled streets of Chicago, with 18, 20, 25 other young men that's studying for the ministry and had a prayer meeting. I'll tell you a neat story about that. We were praying one time, having our prayer meeting. We met at the same place at this, at a block of its intersection, and we'd kneel kind of away from the block against the apartment house. And we met there for probably 6-8 months for our prayer meeting, just kind of to try a new place. And we prayed every... Now, listen, if you get in a prayer meeting with preachers, especially young preachers, let me tell you something. These guys, these young preachers that pray, they pray, but they also preach while they pray. Okay, and they got to tell God where the scriptures are and what the reference is, and they go through. I mean, they'll say in the Bible, Lord, you know the Bible says. I want to say, yeah, He does. Move on. But they'll preach. They'll pray a 3-point outline. They'll pray through the plan of salvation. It's nothing quite as interesting as praying with a bunch of young preachers. So I mean, they're praying everything, you know, and then we met there for several in that apartment building there. Well, the bus captain of that route, he, about 6 months later, was doing door-to-door visitation, went through that apartment building and knocked on a lady's door and tried to win her to Christ, said, have you ever been saved? She said, I sure have. And he said, well, what church were you in? I was right here. Well, who talked to you? She said, nobody talked to me. She said, 8:00 every Saturday night, she said, I'd go over to the window and lift it up, and I'd listen to you men pray down there. And through your prayers, I learned how to be saved. And one day at night, I just bowed my head and prayed with you and asked Jesus to be my Savior. Woo! So then, from that point on, every time we'd meet, her name was Mary. And every time we'd meet down there to pray, we'd holler up at the window, and she'd wave out like this at us, and we'd pray. Ah, Lord, isn't the Lord good, the little things that he does? Folks, listen to me. There's not a bad place to pray. I want to tell our young people, they're not in here, but Sunday school teachers, children's church workers, you tell them, You can pray in a public school.
Yes, sir.
Don't have anybody ever tell you that there's some place on this planet you can't pray. You, by the way, men, right. You can pray at work.
Amen.
You absolutely can. Yes, can. And so, you know, we still have freedoms too.
That's right.
I don't know why all of it is. All the liberals and atheists and the sodomites have all the rights and Christians don't have constitutional rights anymore. Excuse me.
That's right.
You know, I'm only going to listen. There's certain things we're doing even right now to draw certain lines because there's some things. It's amazing. People calling, screaming for separation of, you know, church and state when they don't want us up there at the state house having influence. But now all of a sudden, a bunch of politicians want to tell Christians what they can and can't do.
Yeah.
By the way, how many Christians can gather in one place and how many can't? Whether you realize it, folks, that's communist China stuff.
That's right.
And I understand the circumstances, and I know there's a crisis. But can I share this with you? There's been a 47-year crisis going on that's cost 60 million unborn babies their life. And they don't want me up there stirring up anything about that. So this isn't the only crisis that's going on. And during times of crisis, they ought to be asking for us to gather and pray, not forbidding us to gather and pray. And so you can pray anywhere. Okay, I had to vent a little, all right? Hey, how about this? You can pray for anyone. Little children, your enemies, Luke chapter 6. Laborers for the harvest, Luke chapter 10. For the sick, James chapter 5. I'm having to hurry. And I'm going to say this. You can pray for yourself. And when he was, Luke 22:40, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. You pray that you enter not into temptation. Sometimes people say, well, I just feel like it's selfish. No, I pray for Jerry. I don't know if anybody else is, so I'm going to make sure somebody is, all right? So, for all men, 1 Timothy chapter 2, for those in authority, for one another, James 5:16, and you can know that prayer works. Let me read these verses, and then we'll have a time of prayer. The Lord hath heard my supplication. Psalm 6:9, the Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Psalm 66, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, but verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. That's such a humbling thing to say, that God of the universe hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Wow. And then he says next, blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer nor his mercy from me. Woo! James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And he spake a parable unto them, Luke 18, to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. The Lord said this, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? And he's not an unjust judge. And if an unjust judge will eventually give in to a request, then a just judge delights in hearing and answering the prayers, even though sometimes the timing of that answer he has to postpone for a while. Don't let a postponed answer keep you from praying and coming to God. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful truth in the Word of God concerning this matter of prayer. And Lord, thank you for the invitation to come boldly, and thank you for our church, dear God. We're going to come together in just a little bit here. We're going to have a little bit, Lord, maybe just part of our service. Most of our service, Lord, I just wanted to have a regular, normal service. I want people to just feel like, you know what, same thing. We're just coming and having church. But Lord, we do need to pray. And we do need to pray for our country. And our president has asked for us to, in a special way, Lord, engage you. And so, Lord, thank you for all of these truths and the blessings of prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.